Hi, I'm an incredibly precariously placed peacock, Taylor.
And I'm a heterosexual love interest that disappears halfway through the movie, Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. This week, I am so incredibly thrilled to say that we watched 1977's Suspiria, directed by Dario Argento and starring Jessica Harper, Stefania Cassini, Flavio Bucci, Alida Valli, and Joan Bennett. And we
the
are
movie
not here
ever.
The movie ever. Did you know actually that the concept of color did not exist before this movie?
Yeah, Dario Argento actually invented colors on film.
Yeah. And we're not here to discuss this movie alone. Guest, take it away.
I am sitting around in my secret lair yelling about Jessica Harper, Haley, aka Meeks to some.
To me. hi, it's wonderful to have you.
It's wonderful to be here.
Much like our episode with Crimson Peak and Rhea, I was saying to myself, like, if we ever do a Suspiria episode, I need to have Meeks be a part of it.
Oh, this is for sure one of the movies I associate, like, most with our friendship, I was going to say.
Yeah. And in that vein, I will pose this question to you both because it's usually the question I pose to guests first, and because this movie's, like, so in my first viewing of this movie is so intrinsically tied to yours that I think you should probably tell the story first. So what are your memories with this movie?
So I was actually trying to remember, like, what or who recommended me this movie that made me first check it out. And I realized it was because of American Horror Story.
Oh, God.
It was like the summer before Coven came out, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be heavily inspired by Suspiria, which, questionable in hindsight, but
I don't know about that one.
But yeah, I checked it out, and I know I like immediately recommended it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I know Suspiria is like a lot of people's like gateway giallo movie, and it was definitely mine because after that, I just sort of binge watched the rest of Argento's stuff.
As you should.
As you absolutely should. I remember when I remember like distinctly when you first watched this movie, and you like were getting all these like weird nightmares and shit because of it.
Oh yeah, for like, sure. It's like a fever dream.
Yeah. I don't know why I remember that so vividly, but yeah, I think I actually watched this for the first time with you and like a mutual friend of ours. We did like some, either we used Rabbit. It might have even been like before Rabbit was a thing. R.I.P.
Yeah,
Rabbit.
I think so. Yeah.
R.I.P. Rabbit, by the way.
Every day I miss Rabbit so much.
Oh my God, I feel it.
I think we might have just like cavemen all hit play at the same time and watched it together and chatted. And I just remember like being baffled and enchanted and absolutely swept away by this movie that just it's such an experience.
It really is the movie ever. Like, it just is.
Yeah, that is the Suspiria experience, I think. Baffled and enchanted.
Is it the best movie ever? No. It's the movie ever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It just is. It's Suspiria.
It's it defies description.
Yeah. It really does. Taylor, what were your first memories with this movie?
So, as most horror-related things in my life do, this goes back to the Bravo 100 Scariest Movie Moments special that I watched when I was like 15 or 16 and immediately was like, I'm going to watch all of these movies. And then I watched all 100 movies on that list, and it ruined my brain for the rest of, the rest of my life. Because I didn't have a job when I was 15 and I could just do shit like that. I miss those days.
Those were the days.
But yeah, Suspiria. I forget what number Suspiria was on that list, but in the special they showed obviously they showed one of the best scenes in the movie, which is the falling through a stained glass ceiling window scene. And I just remember watching that and being like, there's no way I'm not going to love this movie.
It really is.
Like, that's the only bit that they showed. And I was already like, I'm in it. I'm completely invested in whatever's going to go down. Yeah. And then I watched it and I almost just said I wasn't surprised at what I found, but I don't know if that's what it was. I think I was just like, I knew I was going to love it and I did.
Yeah, it is something.
That's the podcast. That's all I can say. This movie boldly asks the question, what if the primary colors were scary?
And yeah. they are.
And I think, like, if I was really pressed to describe it, one of the only things I can really think of that's appropriate is it's like having a nightmare, but, it like, is. In a good way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Waking up from a nightmare and you're terrified, but you're also, like, kind of exhilarated.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're, like, kind of into it.
Yeah. It's like a sexy nightmare.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the movie operates on, like, I mean, obviously it's not the strongest movie from a plot perspective, no. but it operates a lot on dream logic, I think.
Mm. Nor from a dubbing standpoint.
Oh my God, the dubbing.
Oh, and it doesn't help that, like, Dario Argento has just never spoken to another human being before in his life.
No.
I'm so fascinated by what goes on in that man's mind.
Can I just say, like, one comparison that kept popping up in my mind is, like, Texas Chainsaw 2. I don't know if you guys, either of you, have ever seen Texas Chainsaw 2.
I haven't.
I don't think I've seen the second one, no.
Okay, so, like, one thing about Texas Chainsaw 2 is that, like, take everything that you know about Texas Chainsaw and throw it out the window. It's, like, a really broad, like, comedy horror movie.
That's what I've heard. Like, I've heard of it. I just haven't actually.
Yeah, but, like, one of the other things that I feel like people don't really talk about is that, like, nothing that comes out of any of the characters' mouths is anything that a human being would ever say.
Oh, that's...
But in Texas Chainsaw 2, it's on purpose. Like, in Suspiria, it really does feel like a dream because it, like, you know when you are having a dream and people are talking and in the dream you're like, oh yeah, uh-huh, 100%. And then you wake up and you're like, why did Obama ask me where the bananas were in my house? And, you know, like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, at the time, it all kind of strings together, and then when you wake up and you think about it a little more, you're like, wait a minute, why did they say that? That's what all of the dialogue in this movie feels like.
I swear to God, every other line in this movie is just, like, something that, like, Meeks and I say to each other as an inside joke. Like, every line in this movie is just, like, a meme to us.
They're iconic. It is. I think what fascinates me is that it's not even just this movie. Like, all of Argento's movies are like this, to the point where I call this style of speaking Argento dialogue.
It is just Argento dialogue. Like,
I just love that he thinks that that's how people talk to each other.
Yeah, Dario, I'd love to live in your little world.
I want to see out of his eyes. I want to go through a day, like, being able to, like, being John Malkovich style, like, inhabit his body.
Being Dario Argento.
That's a movie I would watch.
Oh, I would.
Same.
I would be there.
I would totally want to be John Cusack, like, finding a little hole in my office that I get to, like, go into and then just inhabit Dario Argento's body for the day.
That's the dream.
Truly.
Oh, God. Yeah, because he just, the way that he sees the world is incredibly intriguing to me. Like, does he think that this is normal?
Yes.
I can only assume because, I mean, I don't know. He's one of those directors that I haven't really been, like, exposed to in terms of, like, interviews or anything like that. Like, he really is such a mystery to me.
God, imagine trying to interview Dario Argento. Like, I
would love to be a fly on that wall.
I hope he talks like this.
If he doesn't, I'd be deeply disappointed.
I know.
I, like, speaking of, like, insane lines of dialogue, can we talk about the, like, Susie and Sarah? I was told that people with names that start with S's are
the names
snakes.
Of snakes.
I do. I have a note that I wrote down that just says Olga is inexplicable.
Olga is an icon. She is an icon.
She is probably my favorite character in this.
I want an Olga prequel. Like, what is her deal?
What's her journey?
Why is she like this?
I was telling Jemmy the other day that I did find, like, a quote from her actress that was, like, her in-depth conspiracy theory about how Olga is training to be a witch. So I like that background piece of information on her.
I believe it, frankly.
I also believe that. I love that Olga, like, dresses like she is from the 1930s.
Oh my God, I know.
That one dress where she's, like, lounging around her house, like, fully dressed like a 1920s flapper.
Like, I know, like, why does she wear pearls to just talk on the phone?
It's the 70s, Olga.
I it's like almost every character in this dresses like they're from a different decade, and I adore that.
So good.
Yeah, nobody lives in the same year in this movie.
Like that little boy who dresses from he's from like the 1800s.
I love that little dude with his like little sailor outfit.
Am I the only one who thought of the Skittles little lad looking at this kid?
Oh my god.
I literally wrote down he's a little lad who loves berries and cream. Oh god. By the way, that guy has a TikTok now.
Of course he does.
Yeah, that little boy needed some berries and cream.
Hey, I do appreciate.
Did he have a lollipop, or did I just fill that in my mind?
You think you just filled that in?
Because he looks like he should have one.
I was about to be like, yeah, for sure he did. So I must have done the same thing.
I don't know. Maybe I'm insane. I very much appreciate his like mother or grandmother or whatever just like sitting in the hallway of the school like cleaning a knife.
Yeah.
Just like, the most ominous character possible.
And she does nothing. I don't even think she has a line of dialogue. Well,
actually, she does, because she does that thing where she like flashes the knife at Susie and mm-hmm. she like, I don't know. Is that when Susie like gets that spell put on her? So she's like freaking out all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it knife magic?
It was knife magic.
We can call it knife magic, yeah. That sounds right.
We could call it anything, and it would sound right in a Dario Argento movie.
That's also true.
This movie is honestly just, like, fill in your own blanks in terms of, like, what the plot is.
Yep.
Truly.
Which is why I remember when the remake was announced that I was, like, so confused about, like, what it could even be.
Because, oh, I know.
Like, mm-hmm. I was like, you'd have, which I now know that it is basically an entirely new movie,
mm-hmm.
but like, I remember being like, it would have to be a completely new movie, because you can't just do this again. There's really nothing to it but the visuals.
That was like, yeah, I will admit that I was extremely skeptical when the remake was announced. I was like, this isn't like a movie that it's possible to remake. And I stand corrected, because the remake, at least in my opinion, is very good, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have an episode on the remake at some point down the line, because I also agree that it was very good. And I remember talking to you about this when the remake stuff was coming out, was very skeptical.
Yeah.
I remember the trailer dropped and we were both just like, wait a minute, is this going to be good?
I know. That teaser trailer is like so, it establishes such a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
A vibe that's very different from the original.
Yeah, which is, like you were saying, really the only way you could do it.
Yeah, I think that if you tried to, like, do, like, and this is me throwing, I guess, a little bit of shade, like a Disney-style remake where it's just, like, a one-to-one thing, like, it would not work.
Yeah, like a shot
for
shot.
This movie is so deeply, like, lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You could not just do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
If you tried to do this again, it would just be bad. Like, this movie... If this movie wasn't, like, as gorgeously directed as it was, it would just be bad.
Like, the plot is borderline incoherent.
For sure. And that's
I had to look at the Wikipedia summary the first time I watched it, because I didn't know what was happening.
The only reason I have, like, any semblance of an idea in my mind is because I've seen this, like, 100 times at least.
Yeah, same.
I'll cut that babbling out, but... It's just such a strange experience, because I keep saying this, but it really is like full dream logic movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing that happens like logically progresses into the next thing.
Something that I was noticing, though, is that, I mean, like all movies do this to an extent, but the lighting cues and the music in this movie really do like a lot of the narrative storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, you know, the famous opening murder of Pat. It's like she gets killed by this like off-screen force, and it's never really explained what it is or who it is. But that music cue that kicks in as soon as she's attacked is the one that like you then come to associate like any time the witches are casting a spell to hurt someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also think that it's kind of funny that this movie sort of treats the witch thing like it's a twist.
Oh, I know.
For the entire movie, every time anything happens, like, and the Suspiria theme kicks in, you just hear someone aggressively go, witch! And then when they're like, like, and it was witches. You're, I guess, like, they treat it like you're supposed to be like, oh my god, it was witches?
Like, I would love to know, like, what other theory somebody would be putting together in their mind before that point.
You've been screaming the word witch at me for the entire movie.
And also,
really, what's funny,
what's insane to me is that the way that it's revealed, like, it's just like one big exposition dump scene that comes out of nowhere
from a character that, like, has not even been in the movie up until now.
Two characters who have not been in the movie up until now.
I also love that one of them is Sarah's psychiatrist, and he's like, yeah, I was treating her for, like, severe delusions. And then he proceeds to just tell Susie in full detail what it was that made Sarah so paranoid.
Yeah, like, I don't know if they have HIPAA in Germany, but they probably have something roughly equivalent. And that's, right? Like, that's, yeah. I think, illegal.
I don't think you can just do that, King.
Literally, like, wow.
Imagine, like, showing up, like, to your friend's therapist, and they're just like, I'm going to read you your friend's entire case file. Like, what?
I can't believe it. A lack of realism in my Suspiria movie.
I know.
It's so good.
I expect nothing but the truth of reality in my Dario Argento films.
I know. Ding, CinemaSins noise.
Oh, God, shut up.
Christ.
I also feel like I need to say that the psychiatrist is played by noted shouty German man Udo Kier, who shows up in a lot of, like, weird, like, trashy movies. So considering my taste, he shows up in a lot in the kinds of movies that I like to watch.
Oh, I love that.
And it was not until returning to this movie, because I watched this, you know, at sort of the beginning of my, like, I love trash phase of my life. Mm-hmm. So I had no fucking clue who Udo Kier was. And then upon returning to this movie, now I was like, I forgot that that was Udo Kier. That was actually the guy from, there are these two Andy Warhol movies. There's an Andy Warhol Dracula and an Andy Warhol Frankenstein. And they're so much fun. I need to watch them again. But Udo Kier plays the lead in both of them. And he's delightful.
He's good
when he shouts. And he doesn't get to scream in this movie. And I think is also dubbed over by another guy. Mm-hmm.
Dubbing in this movie?
Because his German accent is thick as hell.
I was going to say, I think it was him that I was reading about, that he was, like, hired at the last minute and just did not know his lines. So,
oh, yeah, probably.
So because they weren't recording with sound, because they were going to dub everything over later, they would just, they had someone there, like, on the set in that moment reading him his lines.
That rules.
Oh, my God. Can I just say, I love, briefly, just so, since we're still talking about, like, these two characters, I love the way that they pronounce occult. Occult.
I love the way occult. They pronounce everything. I'm fascinated by whoever did that dubbing.
So, this is just, like, a weird sidebar, but recently I was watching the movie Dracula AD 1972 with the subtitles on, and the subtitles always corrected the word occult to A space C-U-L-T.
A cult.
Oh my god.
So every time they talked about the occult in this movie, I couldn't stop thinking about those horrible subtitles on my copy of Dracula.
Oh my god.
A cult.
I mean, trust the subtitles, you know?
This movie is kind of about a cult, so it would have kind of made sense in this movie.
Well, as we know from this movie, the correct term would be a coven.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Fuck. Shut up.
I can't imagine, like, I guess maybe just in terms of it, like, being about witches, but, like, I can't even, like, I, to be fair, I have not watched American Horror Story in a long time, but I don't
You're
feel
so
like
lucky.
It has AHS cult vibes.
Cult, yeah. Or coven?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say the original, supposedly coven is the one that originally took inspiration from this. I have not watched Cult, so I could not tell you if there are any.
No, I just misspoke. I meant coven.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm a professional podcaster.
Same.
I'm a professional American Horror Story scholar.
No, we're professional American Horror Story scholars.
Oh, and that's,
trust me,
not an enviable position.
No, I'm not bragging. This is a cry for help.
It's fine. You guys know a lot about American Horror Story. I know a lot about Andy Warhol horror movies. It's fine.
Together we make
Something. I love, I just remembered, speaking of like the cult doing shit, can we talk about that dog murder?
Oh my god.
I love that scene.
I mean, guys, you can never put too much trust in wolfhounds. They're crazy.
What does that line mean?
It's not even a wolfhound, it's a German shepherd. It's very obviously a German shepherd. Like, an extremely iconic breed of dog. But Dario Argento is like, no.
She said that. Is it Olga who says that? She says it so confidently.
She does. She's like, oh yeah, it's like, and then she follows it up with like, oh, we had two of them and they were always going crazy. Like, what is this woman's story?
Lore.
Again, I want a fucking Olga prequel.
I have so many questions. But yeah, that and the razor wire murder, like, I remember really impacting me the first time I watched this.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, you know.
Nothing memorable about those.
Man, I love Saw.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, do you ever just, like, go to a witch academy and there's a Saw trap in one room with no explanation?
I literally have a note that just says, this is the version of the razor wire trap from the first Saw as built by Amanda.
Yeah, that, like, god damn it. God, that is so horrible. I would not want that to be my life.
Yeah, it's not a fun time. That whole sequence of, like, Sarah being chased through the academy, I think, is where the film is at its, like, most nightmarish. Like, it feels like one of those nightmares where something is chasing you and you can't get away from it and you can't stop it.
Right. Like, right down to, like, that part where she's in the room and he's, like, trying to get in the door, putting the knife through the door, and it's kind of like, Sarah, just run. But, like, at the same time, it's, like, one of those dreams where you can't move. Like, that's what it feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Poor Sarah.
She didn't deserve that.
Poor Sarah.
She deserved none of that. I think the scene where she's, like, trying to, like, Charlie Kelly, like, conspiracy theory wall to Susie, and Susie's just, like, half asleep, groggily being like, yeah, yeah, sure. Well, she's just like, number one, there are witches. Number two, I heard this thing. Number three, like, she's just like, she's going full Charlie Kelly. It's extremely good.
She has it all figured out.
Can we talk about witches? I've been dying to talk about witches.
What?
Can we talk about witches? I've been dying to talk about witches. Which is just,
god damn it,
my life at this point.
Me constantly.
I mean, if it's not your life, you need to figure some shit out, because, like, that should be everyone's life,
frankly.
Yeah.
Dying everyone to talk about witches.
Can I just say, I love that everything in this movie is just inexplicably beautiful. Like, that swimming pool? What the fuck? It's not just
it's like the most gorgeous shade of blue.
It's not just a swimming pool. It's the most beautiful swimming pool you've ever seen in your life. The room where Pat is staying with her, like, weird neighbor is not just a room. It has, like, beautiful paintings of birds on the walls and, like, this weird surreal architecture in terms of, like, the windows and the, even, like, the knickknacks on the table are weird as fuck. This movie is a vibe. This movie is vibes.
Olga's apartment with, like, the insane black and white, like, wallpaper design.
Oh my god.
I love.
Oh, I know.
I want to live. Like, I want to live in that apartment so bad.
Yeah, no wonder Susie didn't want to move
gorgeous.
Out.
And right down to, like, the blood being, like, this, like, luxurious red paint color. Like, it's so not even remotely an attempt to look realistic, but it works.
I think that's why I'm very forgiving of, like, the weird, insane dialogue, is because, like, nothing about this movie is supposed to be real. Mm-hmm. So, like, why should the dialogue be anything like the way that people talk to one another, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It works. Like, I think it's, to make, like, a more modern comparison, it's almost kind of a Lynchian vibe.
You know what's so funny? I kept thinking about Lynch throughout this movie. I kept thinking of The Black Lodge.
Yeah, it's a similar vibe, isn't it?
Mm.
With like the red curtains and like the really like flat lighting
and the way that even like the characters talk there, that's so like that particular like bizarre flavor of dialogue.
Argento dialogue.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's just that I see red and I'm like, hey, that's the Black Lodge. But like, such once again, Dario Argento, inventor of the color red. Like,
I mean, inventor of color in general. Color didn't exist before Suspiria 1977. This is history. Yeah.
Confirmed.
Little known fact too, neither did lesbians.
Correct.
I was so grateful to Dario Argento for so many things, but especially for inventing lesbians.
I feel like Susie and Sarah were dating each other.
I think that they were, and
I think that they should have been allowed to be girlfriends and kiss.
There's something about that one scene that's, you know, I'm just calling it in my head the red scene, but when they're all camped out after the whole maggots incident and they're like whispering to each other in the dark.
Yeah.
That has a vibe.
I love that scene so much because like, I love that when it starts, like the little like camp out area that they have created out of like bed sheets is like relatively normal and looks fine. And then fucking Madame Blanc turns off the light and it just becomes the scariest place you have ever been.
It's terrifying. And they're all like, oh yeah, this is fine. We're just going to go to sleep
and
now.
Like this, like horror, like terrifying red light everywhere. It's like, how is anyone supposed to sleep like this?
It's literally like the lights go off and it's like hashtag welcome to the nightmare. Like,
and you can see like the shadows of the other teachers, like getting their shit ready behind the bed sheets. Like, no, thank you. I will sleep outside.
I think I would rather sleep like with the maggots.
Yeah, same.
That I've spoken before on this podcast about my hatred of bugs.
Oh, Taylor, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I got so itchy during this maggot scene.
I mean, it's nasty.
I've completely somehow forgotten about the maggots.
It's pretty gnarly. I hate the part where Miss Tanner is like investigating upstairs and she's like stomping on them.
It's just like Susie just trying to like brush her hair in front of the mirror, and it's like, it again, like Creepshow did the exact same thing where it's like one maggot and she's like, ew, but that's normal, and she like flicks it away, and then suddenly another one and another one and then another one, and then suddenly it's just like all of the maggots. And it's the worst.
It's so bad.
Which is another thing that they never really explain, by the way. I guess it's because like the witches are just so evil that they attract that kind of thing. I don't know.
You ever just so evil that food starts rotting around you?
Well, yeah, we've all been there.
See, I honestly assumed that it didn't even have anything to do with the witches, that it was just like an unrelated thing that happened.
Honestly, I hope it's that.
You could be right for all
I
know.
It's really funny. Like, conceptually.
Like, I don't know why I thought that it was, like, I don't know. Because, like, Miss Tanner seemed, like, genuinely shocked to find them there.
Yeah, she did. That's the thing. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things that's never explained.
I think it would be really funny if there was actually no supernatural explanation. It's just like, well, no, the company that we order our food from actually did accidentally deliver us spoiled food.
Yeah, that's just the B-plot. Yeah.
The B plot is the headmaster, like everyone's fucking suing the company that they get their food from.
I want a scene of like Miss Tanner on the phone with management, like bitching them out.
I so wanted more of Miss Tanner, so I'd be so on board for that.
Miss Tanner, like, I feel like, you know those memes where like, you know, it'll be like a picture of somebody and the caption is like, I know that man runs a Burger King like it's the army. Like, all I could think of when I saw Miss Tanner was, I know this bitch runs a dance school like it's the army.
Oh my god, that is her vibe.
My favorite thing about Miss Tanner, and this is dipping into the remake a little bit, but it's like, so in the remake, like, a lot of these characters have very sort of different vibes than they do in the original Suspiria, but, like, Miss Tanner's vibe is consistent throughout both
it's
films.
It's literally, like, the same character.
She's exactly the same, and I love that for her.
They just knew they couldn't improve on perfection.
Exactly.
Can I just say also, when Susie was, like, about to faint in that first class, and she was like, I really need to sit down for a second, and Miss Tanner was like, no, like, you're gonna fucking dance. Like, I was just having, like, incredible gym class flashbacks.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like, that is so what it's like to be, like, the, like, out of shape fat kid in an elementary school dance class, and you're, like, running suicides, and you're like, I'm going to faint, and the gym teacher's like, no, you can do it, just keep going.
Oh, war flashbacks.
Like, I was literally having war flashbacks. It's such an evil vibe. That's scarier than the witches, honestly. It's just, like, a really mean teacher.
Miss Tanner, well, I mean, is the
a really mean teacher that is a witch. So
she doesn't even need to be a witch. If but nothing she is, happened though. Except for that one scene, it would be equally scary.
Fair enough. I'm just saying it's both. It's the best of the worst of both worlds, if you will.
I'm sure there's a draft out there somewhere where this movie is not supernatural at all. It's just Miss Tanner killing people.
It's just about just insane teachers.
See, like, you could tell me that and I wouldn't even be surprised because I know Dario.
That is, like, a movie he would make.
I'm just very confused as to why, like, the, like, I don't know. Like, everything about this movie is so deeply strange that I guess I shouldn't be confused about anything. But, like, who approved the dog puppet?
I have a note about the dog puppet. Just
and
like,
who told them it looked good?
What is that? I love the 70s so much.
Just like, what the fuck is that dog?
Not only the,
like,
dog
a hand in the two sides of the jaw.
And then when he's like tearing the guy's throat apart later, it's like so clearly like a piece of meat. Like, they don't even try to disguise it.
That's my favorite. It'll cut to like the obvious puppet who is like, ah, like is like clamping onto the guy's throat. And then it'll cut to a shot of the dog eating with the guy just out of frame. And it's clearly like they gave the dog some like lunch meat or something.
Oh, beautiful filmmaking. Oh.
It's so good.
To me, that's cinema.
The dog, like, dipping fully its mouth out of frame to, like, eat, like, I don't know, something that someone is holding out to him.
That dog was a star.
That dog was a star. He did a very good job.
The wolf dog.
Yeah. Excuse me, wolf.
You can never put too much trust on
wolf
dogs.
Wolfhound, thank you.
Wolfhound.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The wolfhound.
Please.
Wolfhound should have won a fucking Oscar.
I agree.
The wolfhound and the butler, I think. Can we talk about the
butler? Okay, justice for Pavlos, who, like, literally got called ugly to his face, and it's fine because he doesn't understand English. He deserves better than that.
Can I ask a question?
Pavlos needs to unionize.
Did they, like, fuck up his teeth? Did the witches fuck his teeth up? Or did they just spill his shit in front of Susie for no reason?
Unclear.
They both seem equally likely is the thing.
See, like, because my first thought was she was like, oh, he had, like, what, like, gingivitis or whatever?
Yeah, and he got all his teeth pulled or whatever.
And she's like, oh, and he had to get all his teeth pulled. And me knowing this movie, I'm thinking to myself, like, ah, like, he did something and the witches punished him by rotting all his teeth out of his head or whatever.
See, that makes sense.
And then, but, like, I'm just thinking, it's probably equally likely that he's just, like, got his own struggles. Like, again, like, something completely unrelated to the. I just would think it was really funny if not as much of the plot as we think it is because of the witches.
Yeah.
Literally, like, I was going to say, like, if it was any other movie, my rationale there would be, like, they wouldn't mention that unless it's plot relevant. But this is Suspiria, so, like, it's completely likely that that's just a random tangent that they threw in because Dario Argento thought it was funny.
Like, Miss Tanner just airing his shit out in front of the new student. Like, yeah, fuck that guy. He had to get all his teeth pulled.
He can't.
Like,
he
kills me.
He doesn't.
He has his own private struggles and he is dealing with them. And I think he looks very handsome.
And he doesn't look like he doesn't speak English. They say that. So he, like, just roasting this dude in front of her.
So fucked up.
I wanted, like, a reveal where he has, like, a line at the end and it's just, like, in perfect English.
Please!
Fuck.
While we're talking about the beginning of this movie, I want to talk about, like, how that, like, brief period of time where, like, everyone is just trying to get money out of Susie.
Yeah, what was that about?
They, like, mob her as soon as she walks into that room.
Because she shows up at the school. And they're like, oh, we actually don't have your room ready for whatever goddamn fucking reason. Like, I don't know. Dario doesn't know. No one knows. And they're like, oh, but you can stay with Olga, but you have to pay her, like, what, $50 a week? And mm-hmm. Susie's like, I mean, I guess, sure. And then, like, later on at the ballet class, like, she doesn't have her shoes because I guess she, like, left her luggage wherever she stayed because they wouldn't let her in at the mm-hmm. On the first night. And, like, the girl she borrows from is like, hey, I'll sell them to you if you give me money for them. And she's like, I'm good, thanks.
I think,
yeah, she's actually, like, I do have my own shoes. They're just not here. I just need these for today. And the girl is like, oh, okay.
She's so disappointed.
And Susie is like, it's like she doesn't quite know what to say. She's like, I mean, unless it's a problem. And the girl's like, no, it's fine. Like, what?
I just love that, like, the concept of this movie is that it's a school run by witches, but the students are almost weirder than the staff.
Honestly, I mean, the student body includes Olga, so, like...
Yeah, that alone.
I love also going back to the bit where they all have to sleep in the... whatever that room is, because of the maggots. Mm-hmm. And they made the boys help set the thing up. They're like, oh, the boys and the servants are helping to set the room up. Like, whoa! That sucks.
Misogynist coven confirmed.
Misandry.
Actually, they're misandrist because they're making the men do all the work while they sit on their ass.
Right, yeah. A misogynist coven would be a whole different storyline.
Yeah.
It's just American Horror Story apocalypse.
It did, though, give me the vibes of, like, being in elementary school and, like, the teacher. Again, like, I'm just having flashbacks to my childhood through this whole movie because, like, you know, when, like, the teacher would need to move something and the teacher would be like, I need a big, strong boy to help me move this.
Yes.
I love
and
that.
And then, like, every gay child, like, gay female child in that class was, like, their hands started shaking because they wanted to get up and help. That's, like, a surefire sign. If you were, like, a little girl who, like, when the teacher wanted a big, strong boy to help move something, you immediately started, like, jittering. You're probably gay now.
And I think this movie understood that.
Agreed. While we're on the subject of the boys.
If I was the writer of the remake, I would have added a scene where something like that happens, and then Susie is just like, no, I can help. Actually.
Please. What a missed opportunity.
Get Luca Guadagnino on the phone, and we'll let him know that we have an idea for the sequel.
That's all of the gay coding that you need. Then everyone in the audience would be like, ah, she's gay.
While we're talking about the boys and also Susie being gay, can we please, like, touch upon her weird love interest that, like, just absolutely vanishes halfway through the movie? Like, after...
Who is that motherfucker?
After, like, after the scene that we were just talking about, with where they're all, like, camping out, like, he's just gone. He does not come back.
I think the final shot of him is that weird shot where he's, like, disappearing behind the curtain and waving to her.
Oh, my God.
He's like, bye, I'm not gonna be back in the movie.
He just...
This is another thing from my notes. Do they legitimately imply that he's gay at one point?
Do they?
Because there's... when he comes to Olga's room, I think it's that part at least. She's like talking about, she's like gossiping about him with Susie, and she was like, she says something that, like, maybe it was implying something totally different, because with this dialogue, who knows? But she's like, oh, I always thought he was, you know, and I never knew what she meant by that.
Is he limp wrist motion? You know.
Exactly. Same energy.
See, that's the real reason it didn't work out.
That's the subtext.
Is that he's gay and she's a lesbian.
Weird.
I mean, listen, he is a male ballet dancer.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fair, I guess.
It's probably kind of hard to find straight boys at this school.
Like, not to stereotype, but...
But also...
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
I did community theater for so many years. There was, like, I think one or two straight guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's statistically, it's likely.
Yeah, like, I'm allowed to joke about this because this was my life for a long period. When you're in the arts as a woman who likes men, it's very hard to find straight boys.
We're all theater kids here. We all know. Except I'm not a woman who likes men, but, like, you know.
I was going to say, you don't know.
I don't know, but I sympathize with your struggles.
You've lived vicariously.
To be fair,
us.
It is... Is it hard to find gay women? Not really.
I mean, in fairness, when I was, like, at the height of my theater kidness, I still thought I was straight. So I couldn't really tell you.
So maybe that was a concern for you then.
Well, then we've all been there. Sort of.
I did have a little compet crush on the guy who played Jonathan Harker in the production of Dracula I was in. So, like, we've all been there.
Very valid of you.
Thanks.
You said himbo rights.
He was very sweet.
You were literally that picture of Lisa Simpson reading the magazine of non-threatening boys.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Suspiria. Yeah. Witches. Colors. Have we touched upon the score of this movie? Because, oh my god.
I did mention that it involves a lot of extremely loudly whispering the word witch, but other than that, no. I fucking love Goblin, and every time a movie that I watch has a score by them, that gains it immediately another star, you know?
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Absolutely.
They've done some of my favorite movie soundtrack work ever, of all time, I think.
I want to see them in concert so fucking bad.
Oh, can you imagine?
Although I would like to point out that this movie specifically credits them as the Goblins.
Oh, I noticed that. I was like, the Goblins?
I was like, that's interesting.
I guess they hadn't quite solidified the name yet, but it is very funny in hindsight.
They were still defining their image.
Yeah. But, like, the other thing is that, like, when you hear a movie score by Goblin, you know that they did the score.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. They have
nothing
such a distinctive
sounds
sound.
The way that a Goblin score sounds.
For sure.
And the theme for this movie is so iconic.
Oh, it's so good. It's on my Halloween playlist.
It's on, like, multiple playlists that I have. I love it.
Have you guys seen the trailer for this movie?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Can we have a conversation about the trailer?
Just to make sure, I assume we're talking about the same one, but the one with, like, the skeleton in it? Oh my gosh, it's iconic.
Oh my
gosh. Like, again, it means nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
It means nothing. But, and yet, it says so much.
It really, like, it's the only thing that can prepare you for what watching the actual movie will be like.
And it won't do it all the way. Like, it won't.
Yeah, it's just a little, it's just like dipping your toes
exactly.
in.
God. It's so good because it's so nothing.
I love linking that trailer to people and just watching their reactions.
Yeah, especially if they've seen the movie and or they know what it's about. Because, again, it says nothing about the content of the film.
I think the line in it is like, the iris is the flower that will be the end of you.
Yes.
Which is like not, and it has nothing to do with anything that happens in the movie.
Again, Dario, that's nothing.
It's nothing, Dario. It's nothing. Can I just say, there's nothing I love more than the fact that the ending of this movie, the first thing in the credits is just, you have been watching Suspiria.
For some reason, that like
thanks
like,
for the
reminder. Yeah, I sure fucking have.
Thanks for the reminder, Dario. I almost forgot.
That's the most bizarre way to end a movie, but for some reason, it gets me so hype every time. I'm like, damn, yeah, I have been watching Suspiria.
Yeah, I fucking guess I have. Like, damn, true.
So,
can I drop a random piece of trivia that I just recently learned about this movie?
Oh, please.
So, Daria Nicolodi, who wrote the screenplay for it, she was originally supposed to be cast as Susie, and then they wanted an American actress, so they had her written down for Sarah, and then she got injured or something, so she couldn't play Sarah. So what she ended up doing was dubbing the voice for Helena Marcus at the end.
Shut up.
That rules!
That fucking, like, smoker's cough voice.
I think she won it in the end.
Yeah.
How old was she?
Young enough to play Susie.
Yeah, right?
Evidently.
Yeah, like, she must have been young if she was young enough to play Susie or Sarah. Like, that's so funny that, like, a young woman could do that fucking voice.
She must have, like, fucked her vocal cords up for a week or something like that doing that.
Literally, you know what she sounds like?
Please.
Please tell.
She sounds like my old manager at Dollar Tree.
No! Are we sure that wasn't Helena Marcus?
You know what? Honestly, she might have been because she was kind of a cryptid.
Just plucked straight out of this movie.
No, she really did. She was a strange lady. Oh, God.
Yeah, Taylor,
if you put a Long Island accent on that voice. That was her.
I think you met Helena Marcos.
I think I did.
That's what it's sounding like to me.
Maybe that's why that job was so shitty.
She cursed you.
She did. She put a curse on me. That's fucking amazing. I feel like all roads led to that. Like, I feel like she was pumped to do that.
Like, that's like the most amazing thing I've ever heard. That would, if I was her, that would be my defining role for the rest of my career.
Yeah, like, you're never going to be able to top that.
Exactly.
I would also like to mention the tagline for this movie.
Oh my God, please share.
Have you guys ever heard the tagline for this movie?
I feel like I have, but I can't remember what it is right now.
I have a poster with it that Jemmy gave me, actually.
The tagline for this film is, "The only thing scarier than the last 12 minutes are the first 92.
Yes!
Amazing.
I mean, like, not wrong.
Number one, not the runtime. Like, I'm
trying to do math.
That out of the way. That's not the runtime of the film.
Oh my God.
It really says a lot that I never bothered to, like, check that.
Yeah, me neither. And I've, like, what was the first time I watched this movie? Like, 2012? Like, it's been a hot minute.
This movie is an hour and, I think, 38 minutes.
That's so fucking funny.
Like, that's just straight up not the runtime. But they said it so confidently.
With their whole chest.
That checks out, honestly.
It's on every poster. It's just not the runtime of the film.
It's actually not on the poster I have, Taylor, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go fuck myself.
Yeah.
It's more evidence that this movie was made for a gay audience because they knew.
Correct. Correct.
They knew nobody would do
no
math
one who
on
wanted
that
to
one.
Watch this Taylor. Movie would ever be able to do the math to figure out that it was wrong. But I did.
You finally caught them.
We got you, Dario. We got you.
Almost 50 years later, we fucking got you, Dario. You won't be able to get away with this forever.
I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of my life.
It feels actually crying.
It actually feels correct, though. Like, it feels right. This feels so right.
The only thing scarier than the last 12 minutes of this movie is the bitch who makes a podcast and is like has enough like time on her hands to do the math to see if the tagline is right.
Oh my God.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
Oh. I feel bad for like devolving into incoherency, but this is so goddamn funny.
Listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of you guys.
Because this is so I know what we do kind of, every time we record.
This is kind of par for the course, but
we had one intellectual episode with the Innocents, and then from there it was just like complete devolving into screaming.
You're part of a long and proud tradition of absolute incoherency on this podcast, which I think is keeping in the theme of this movie because, like,
yeah, we're just
this movie is incredibly incoherent.
Yeah, I mean. To be fair, if somebody clicks this Suspiria episode, this is exactly what they should expect.
Frankly, yes.
The thing about this movie is that, like, when it first came out, it got, like, pretty mixed reviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was reading
Yeah, because all the reviewers were heterosexual.
True.
If they had gay people on this.
I was reading some contemporary reviews for the movie, and it was a lot of people being like, I mean, it's fine. It's not as good as Dario Argento's last movie, though, which was... I think The Bird with the Crystal Plumage was his movie before this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, cut to present day, and this is the Dario Argento movie that most people know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like The Bird with the Crystal Plumage, but I was going to say, I feel like nobody knows what that fucking movie is, like, if you would ask them today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's really funny that most of the reviews were saying that this was not as good as that one. And then it's like, well, guess which one will go down in history as one of the best, like, horror movies of, like, the 20th century.
Truly. It's like cult classic material, mm-hmm. like, truly.
Yeah, I feel like that's why I always I don't get torn up personally when, like, recent movies kind of get mixed to negative reviews at the box office if I really like them, because a lot of movies that people now consider to be total classics were like either got like mixed reviews or completely bombed when they first came out.
Yeah.
To cite a recent example, like Jennifer's Body, the opinion on that movie has changed so much in the like however long it's
been. In such a short amount of time. Like, hasn't it only been like 10 or 15 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I think only like 10 years or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's just really interesting how, like, especially if I really like an older movie, I love to read the contemporary reviews because a lot of them are just people shitting on the movie.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild. So funny to read those and then to think about how, like, I'm watching this now in the present day because people care enough to preserve it and remaster it. And in Suspiria's case, to put it on Tubi.
Oh, it's on Tubi? So
it sure is.
Oh, Tubi, thank you so much. Again, Tubi, sponsor us. We love you.
We love you so much, Tubi. I saw a meme recently that was like that meme of the guy walking with his girlfriend and looking back at the other girl, but the girlfriend that he was walking with was Netflix and he was labeled horror fans and the girl he was looking at was Tubi.
Yes!
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah, Tubi. We're once again begging for a sponsorship.
God, there's nothing I love more. Like, I love that I can just be like, I want to watch something, like, completely fucking garbage and just be like, what is in, like, the depths of Tubi.com?
And it's so funny because every time I watch, like, a movie, I will, of course, like, Google it to see if it's on any streaming services that I pay for before I go the other way that I watch movies.
Mm-hmm. Legally.
Yeah, legally, before I pay money for them.
Of course.
Before I buy them from my lord and savior, Jeff Bezos.
Of course.
or the CEO of YouTube. And I always, always, always am so happy when when the first result is Tubi, because I know it means I'm in for a great time.
I love it. This movie, I own it on DVD, and yet, as a testament to my own laziness, I actually watched it on YouTube this time around. The whole thing is just on YouTube.
I also...
Is it, like, one of those, like, free with ads YouTube things, or is it, like, uploaded it?
Yeah, it's straight up just someone uploaded it and it hasn't been taken down.
I remember because that's how we watched it the first time.
And it hasn't been taken down yet?
Yep, and that was
it
like...
It might be the same copy.
That was like in 2012. Like, it was...
Oh my God.
So yeah, listeners, if you want to watch this movie, it's just all on YouTube.
Yeah, Reanimator has been on YouTube since I was in high school, and it's the same upload with the same cut.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it like, again, like, I watched it for the first time when I was in high school, and it's the extended cut, and it's still on YouTube.
I really love those movies that... like, just nobody cares to file to get taken down from YouTube.
Yeah, it's so great. I have a whole playlist on YouTube full of, like, shitty, trashy, like, 70s and 60s movies that, like, yeah, they're probably copyrighted, but, like, no one cares enough to claim them.
Oh, that's excellent.
Like, there's this movie that I watch sometimes. It's a TV movie called Satan's School for Girls.
Yes! I've heard
that's
of that.
That's just on YouTube!
Oh my God, I'm going to have to go track it down now.
It's actually very, very good. I'm not going to derail this podcast, but that's a fun one.
It's on my list.
It's about exactly what you think it is. It's also kind of the plot of Suspiria.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like one of those movies, I'm not sure when that came out, but one of those movies must have influenced the other.
I think Satan's School for Girls was early 80s, so it was probably Suspiria inspired, but...
That makes sense.
It's what... AHS Coven wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly. I just love, like, boarding school horror.
Yeah.
Something about, have like, being trapped in a place with, like, people that you don't really know, and your family is really far away from you, and in Susie's case, you're literally in a foreign country.
Yeah, it's kind of the ideal setting.
Like, it's scary enough being, I guess, I mean, is this supposed to be a high school or a college?
Wasn't it... Meeks, didn't you, like, I'm pretty sure you told me once that this was supposed to, like, be with younger girls than the women that they cast? Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
The original draft of the script was written for, like, 12-year-old girls.
What?
Yeah. And then the production company was like, this is kind of violent, so could you maybe raise the age a little bit? And so now it's written for, I believe the age was 20-year-olds.
So it's like a
But the interesting thing is Argento did not change the script at
all. Yeah, I was going to say, because doesn't one of the girls say, like, oh, I got accepted to this, like, dance program at a university?
Oh.
Yeah, huh. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Olga.
That sounds right.
Yeah, when Susie and Olga are first talking, when Susie, like, first comes to Olga's apartment to move in, I think Olga says something to her, like, oh, what are you going to do after you graduate from the program here? Like, I got accepted into this university, this dance program at a university. And so that and line, Olga, I was listening to that line, and I was like, wait a minute, are they supposed to be in high school?
Yeah, that Olga as a character definitely seems at times like she was written older, but I don't know, because this was, yeah, for sure originally meant to be about, like, children.
Huh. This would be a much different movie if this was about, like, teenagers.
It really would.
Yeah, I agree.
And, like, I would love that movie, but the vibe is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think just, like, especially if it was, like, literally 12-year-olds, I can see the concern with the amount of gore and violence in this movie.
Yeah, because students are just getting hacked and slashed one after the other.
For sure.
Yep.
I think it would be kind of upsetting to watch small children be murdered like that.
Just a little.
Which, yeah, you know, which really would take away from just how fun this movie is to watch, I think. Like, it's just mm-hmm. so beautiful.
But then again, Sleepaway Camp exists.
Oh, we
okay. Well, that should be a counter argument for everything.
Truly,
right? And that movie is about, like, children who are played by, like, actual, like, middle school aged children being murdered. Yep.
Come to think of it, that was, like, the least of my concerns about Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah, everyone's concerns about Sleepaway Camp. I remember when I went to this horror convention like 2 years ago, and I was at a panel with Felissa Rose, and somebody asked her, like, oh, what was it like to be in this movie when you were so young? And she's like, I wasn't really thinking about it. And then it got me kind of thinking, like, yeah, you know, you never really think that about Sleepaway Camp, but, like, those are, like, actual 12-year-olds playing 12-year-olds being brutally murdered.
They literally are, and I haven't really thought about that until this point.
Like, the kids in that movie are young, and, like, it's weird thinking about that in hindsight.
I think maybe it's just that I personally watched it when I was a lot younger, and it didn't, like, stand out as much to mm-hmm. me, but yeah, goddamn.
I will say also that Sleepaway Camp also does have so much else going on.
There's so much happening in that movie.
Yeah, like, I don't blame anybody for, like, really not registering how young the kids in that movie are.
It's really a lot to process.
But, like, I think that I love, like, horror movies about kids. Like, I think It is one of the best horror movies ever made, like, fighting about it. So I think that, like, I don't know if I know that I never know how to pronounce this man's name. The man who directed the remake.
Andy Muschietti?
No, the remake of Suspiria.
Oh, Luca Guadagnino.
Yeah, Luca Guadagnino. I assume Dakota Johnson is not supposed to be playing a teenager.
No.
No.
Because she's, yeah, like, 30.
The remake definitely skews, like, even more, like, adult characters mm-hmm. than this, I would say. Like, they're not even supposed to be college.
Yeah, it's not even, like, vague. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think that if, I mean, obviously I haven't seen the remake, but, like, I think that maybe in another director's hands it would have been interesting to go more firmly young with it.
Yeah, I could see
like
that,
making this just explicitly like a movie about, like, if 12-year-old or 13-year-old is too uncomfortable to, like, see them being brutally murdered, like, even, like, teenagers, I think that would be, like, an interesting way mm-hmm. to do the remake. And
there is a scene, I won't spoil it, but Jemmy probably knows what I'm talking about, that would be maybe unwatchable.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean just copy-paste children into the remake. I'm saying, like, if a different person made the remake.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I agree.
I don't know, because I think, like, I mean, kids love horror, and kids are drawn to, like, the supernatural and scary stuff. So, like, I don't know. I think the idea of, like, a young girl investigating while all of her classmates are just, like, being fucking murdered would be kind of an interesting way to do it. And especially because, like, especially young girls, like, children in, like, the dance industry and in the ballet world, like, there's so much pressure on them
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, there's so much, like, intrinsic horror to childhood in general, let alone when you add, like, that kind of environment. It would be interesting.
Yeah, like, young kids who are, like, do dance and who do ballet are put through so much in the name of, like, perfection that I think, like, that would be cool to, like, see. I mean, like, I don't begrudge them for going, I guess, more firmly adult with the remake, but I don't know. I think it just would be interesting.
Well, maybe we'll get that version one day.
I love this movie.
It's just so fun to watch. Like, we were, like, ragging on it a little bit, but, like, it is a really good movie.
Yeah, it's just, like, that's part of the charm. Mm-hmm. Like, the like, stupid dubbing and stuff is just, like, really part of the charm.
Yeah, we say all of this with, like, deep, deep affection.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, like, we're ragging on it, but, like, the stuff that is, like, goofy, it's, like, this movie isn't good in spite of the goofy stuff. It is good partially because of the goofy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This would be a completely different movie without the goofy stuff, and it would be a worse movie.
Yeah, I think it would be a worse movie if it was better made, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because it's like there's so much stuff, like we were saying earlier, that's, like, not necessarily strong from a plot perspective, but I think it feels, like, right for the movie that this is. Like, it's just, like, a weird, surreal experience. And I feel like if you tried to coat that with, like, more realistic dialogue and characters, it would just take something away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wouldn't be Suspiria anymore.
No. Mm-hmm. Suspiria is such its own thing. And I think, like, the kind of shitty aspects to it make it good. Like, I'm about to sort of try to segue into the Letterboxd thing that I do, but, like, a lot of the Letterboxd reviews for this movie were people being like, I don't get it. Like, the dubbing is bad and the dialogue is stupid and it really doesn't have a plot. The only good thing about this movie is the visuals. And I'm like,
oh my God,
you didn't find all of that stuff that you said at the beginning charming?
I hope you didn't enjoy that.
It made me kind of sad. It's like, I feel like if you're not into the kind of goofier stuff that this movie does, you're, like, missing a huge chunk of why this is an enjoyable movie to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You're supposed to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, this, I feel like there's some people have a problem where they take horror super seriously.
Yeah.
And they don't allow themselves to have fun with stuff in horror movies that are not explicitly labeled comedies.
And I just can't wrap my head around that personally, because camp is such a, like, defining part of the genre. Like,
yeah, like, this movie can have stupid shit in it and still be really scary and good.
Mm-hmm. Like, listen, I love the, like, slow burn psychological horror movies that have been in fashion.
We, like, just talked about The Witch last episode. Like,
exactly. But I think that, like, the way that they have become sort of the default, oh, this is good horror, mm-hmm. has definitely shifted something away from the genre that should be, like, intrinsic. Yeah.
That's a really nice and, like, diplomatic way to say fucking poisoned people's brains.
Yeah. I was trying to be nice, Taylor.
It so they can't have fun anymore.
Exactly. You're right. That's what I wanted to say, bluntly.
Yeah. I feel like if you go into this movie, and, like, also, like, I don't know, I feel like there are a lot of people who, I mean, again, like, Meeks, you said, like, camp has always been such an intrinsic part of the horror genre, and I feel like mm-hmm. there are people who take camp and equate it to, like, bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, if a movie has campier aspects to it, like, it can only sort of be enjoyed ironically. Because, like, I also see people who talk about this movie as though the dumb shit in it is not in it.
What?
Yeah, like I see these prestige critics trying to talk about Suspiria, and they're like, yeah, it's beautiful, and it's visually stunning, and it's one of the best movies ever made, and they don't talk about the dumb stuff, and it's
that's
like,
so funny.
It doesn't go away because you pretend it doesn't exist, and I think that that does people a disservice, because, you know, someone might see Suspiria on a list like that Bravo Scariest Movie Moments, and go into it expecting a really sort of prestige type movie because they see these mm-hmm. critics sort of fawning over it without mentioning its sort of dumber aspects, and then they become those people who are then disappointed by what they see. And it's like, no, you need to be able to prepare yourself for that kind of camp and still see it for what it is. I don't know. I'm just babbling at this point, but like, I feel like not discussing the goofy stuff in this movie does it a disservice, because that's as much a part of it as the really scary stuff or like the beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I think people are like almost afraid to enjoy that kind of thing because they think that it makes them lesser watchers, or just like their taste is worse because of it. I don't know. I don't really understand, because I personally have so much fun with that sort of thing.
And that's why straight people are still not allowed to watch horror movies.
Exactly. Like, come back when you, like, read Notes on Camp and you understand why this movie fucking rules.
Seriously.
Okay, so I do a segment on this show called Live, Laugh, Letterboxd, where I read funny Letterboxd reviews. And as mentioned, a lot of weird ones this time around. But I did find some bangers, so.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yana says, "The color red didn't exist until Dario Argento invented it in 1977. 5 stars.
As Agreed. We've been saying this entire episode, yes.
Precisely.
They get it.
I'm not totally sure how to pronounce this person's name, so forgive me if I say it wrong if you're listening. Hanaya, H-A-A-N-I-Y-A-H, Hanaya, I think, says, "I don't understand what the fuck just happened, but it slapped. 5 stars.
Oh, that's God, it. Me. That's all you need from this movie.
That's the Suspiria experience.
Again, they get it.
KJ says, "This is the only Snow White and the Seven Dwarves live action remake that matters." 4 stars.
Correct. We actually, I took a class when I was still in film school about Disney movies, and we talked like at length about how many horror directors were inspired by Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
That rules.
I love that.
It's great.
Yeah, because Snow White really just does have so many like primary colors, and you can totally see where Dario Argento might have taken that as inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if scary? Sure.
Like that whole scene in the beginning where you see Pat like running through the woods, like very Snow White.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's one of my favorite shots, too.
Mm.
Owen says, "Let's go, witches, let's go. 4 stars.
I love you, Owen.
Diamond Bolt says, "I'm fairly certain my Christian high school was exactly like this."
Would not be surprised.
And sadly, they did give it 2.5 stars, but it was a funny review, so I'll forgive you.
That's pretty funny.
Like, sometimes I'll forgive them if they say something particularly funny. Like, you're not woke to the fact that this movie is good, but, like,
you... At least they have a sense of humor about
exactly.
it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Haley says, not you, different person. "What kind of demon possessed Dario Argento and the members of Goblin for them to compose a film score so scary? 4 stars.
You know, that might have been me, actually.
Truth revealed.
Barney says, "You know how really effective horror films leave you terrified to visit some of the safest and most familiar places? I mean, I guess I'll be staying away from my closet full of razor wire for a while." 4.5 stars.
Same. Yeah, big same.
I'm so glad someone could relate to that specific experience.
I feel
far
seen.
Away from my closet full of razor wire. Yaz says, "Things this film did. It all. 5 stars.
Yes.
True. True.
Truly.
Mike says, and the first thing in this review is the, like, the okay hand sign emoji.
Uh-huh. We're like, all familiar.
Thumb and the pointer finger touching.
Mm-hmm.
"When Goblin is screaming in my ears and Argento is screaming in my eyes." 5 stars.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite.
Liam says, "And now for today's weather. Some lovely neon lighting with a chance of raining maggots."
They had to remind us of the maggots.
Yeah.
Of course.
Probably the worst scene. Just from a, like, I hate to look at it standpoint.
We hate to see it.
Although I will say, Sarah coming out, undead Sarah, with her eyes, like, pinned open.
Yes! Oh my god!
Hate that. Hate to look at it. And of course, Jemmy, I had to include this. This is a review from your brother, Jamie.
Uh-huh.
And he simply says, "This happened to me once."
Can you confirm it did actually happen to
you
once?
I was going to say, can you confirm whether or not this happened to your brother once?
I mean, listen, Jamie did go to a performing arts high school, so like...
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
I feel like, have I mentioned yet that this is supposedly based on a true story?
Sorry?
Sorry for holding that back. But...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, so apparently...
Dario Argento literally said, this happened to my buddy Eric.
Literally, like, you're not wrong. But the screenwriter, Daria Nicolodi, had a grandmother who claimed to have fled from, like, a German music academy because she thought it was being run by witches.
What the fuck? Oh my god! I can't believe you waited till the end of the episode to drop this fucking bomb.
What? I don't know why that slipped my mind until now.
I'm crying!
I think I just internalized it. Like, yeah. Okay, I accept this.
Is Daria Nicolodi alive?
She actually sadly passed away last year.
Oh, damn it. Because now I'm like, someone needs to ask this in more detail.
I know. I love that that's treated like such a footnote. Like, I had to do actual research to find that out.
That is so funny.
That's insane.
Just casually, like, yeah, my grandma went to this school that was run by witches, and she, like, left because she figured out there were witches. Anyway, let's talk about the lighting in this movie. Let's talk about the score. And not the fact that this happened to my grandma, Eric.
I love that Dario Argento's reaction to that was presumably just, oh, yeah, I'll make a movie about it.
Hey, Daria, can you write me a screenplay based on that?
Just no big deal.
That thing that happened to your grandma in real life.
Oh, I would love if this movie opened with based on a true story.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
That would change my whole experience.
Based on the true case files of Dario Argento.
Oh my god. That's so funny. I think it would have made the movie better.
I agree.
It definitely would have put me in like a completely different mind space.
God, exactly. Now I want to like watch this movie for the first time again, but with the knowledge that it is apparently based on a true story.
Literally, this happened to my buddy Eric. Like,
I want to know how that would warp my perception.
God damn it. So
thank
good.
You, Jamie, for reminding me that this is a reality, apparently.
Jamie, are we sure that your brother is not Daria Nicolodi's grandmother reincarnated?
I've never seen them together in the same room.
I rest my case.
We might be onto something here.
Jamie, if you're listening, please confirm.
Please reach out.
And you better be listening because you're my brother and you have to.
You're legally obligated. Yeah, dude, me too. Every time the new pod goes up, I fly to my sister's university and hold a gun to her head until she listens.
It's true. I go all the way to Boston.
As you should. As
just to force your brother to listen to the pod.
My brother is in London currently, so I'll make an effort to do the same.
Is he attending a mysterious dance academy?
Yeah, you might want to check up on him.
He actually is at, like, he's in an acting program, so...
Oh my god!
I'm not worried for him.
Okay, there's definitely witches there.
Yeah, like, I think, dude, I think you need to go check on your brother.
Yeah, I'm starting to sweat a little.
And my sister's a theater minor.
Oh my fuck. God.
I think we need to all go check on our siblings.
The pieces are all coming together.
Oh god. Oh god, oh shit.
All right, we better end.
There's witches' covens all over the United States. And our siblings are all in all of them. Okay, so on a scale of 1 star to 5 stars, how would you rate this movie? Well, I guess we'll start with Jemmy.
I can't in good consciousness give this movie anything less than 5 stars.
Yeah, same. I gotta give it 5.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's just such a completely enjoyable experience. I have no complaints.
This movie is such a part of, like, who I am and, like, how I perceive the world.
Honestly, yeah.
So I can't, like, in good consciousness. It would be like me sitting here and giving, like, Crimson Peak less than 5 stars.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's in my sure. DNA. It's in my veins. This movie was so formative for me.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta give it 5 stars.
Yeah, I did watch this, like, as I was beginning to watch horror movies. So, yeah. 5 stars all around.
Yay.
And what a place to start.
As it fucking should be, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Of course. The Woman in Black and Suspiria. That's all you need.
Yep.
To start you on your horror journey.
I think that's great advice.
All right. Well, Meeks, do you have any, like, anything you want to plug?
Honestly, if you like this movie, just go, I'll plug the remake. Go watch the remake.
Plug the remake. Yeah.
Well, we meant go more watch like your social media, but
But like, plug the remake.
I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Rainbow Highs, but I'm like barely on it. So
that's actually a good thing. Twitter's a hellscape. I would encourage everyone to be on Twitter as little as possible.
Yeah,
you're doing unfortunately for yourself. I'm better off.
Unfortunately, I will not be taking that advice, but like my Twitter is just a void where I yell, so.
And that's valid.
You can follow us on Twitter at FGFpod. You can also follow us on Instagram there. I think that's all we have still.
Yep.
Taylor will make a TikTok one of these
one
days.
Day.
Give us those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Give us the, no, yeah, 5 stars Apple Podcasts. Give us a follow on Spotify. Whatever you do on your podcast app to say, I like this. And next time is a big one, guys. It's a big one. We will be kicking off the Christmas season with the only Christmas movie.
The most important Christmas movie.
And I think Meeks knows exactly what I'm about to say right now.
I'm holding my breath.
The Conjuring 2.
Why did I think you were going to say Krampus?
Listen, we can't do all of them.
Yeah, we can't do both of them in the same year. We can't blow our load this early.
Okay, exactly. Okay, fair. The Conjuring 2 is an amazing choice. I will be tuning in.
Of course. So yeah, prepare yourself for yet another dose of heterosexuality with that.
We are going to be breaking our streak of 90-minute bangers, unfortunately, because The Conjuring 2
unfortunately
is pretty long.
It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. And yet...
We were on such a good streak of, like, tight 90s, and then...
Listen, The Conjuring 2 has good pacing.
The thing
least,
is that, like,
so.
The heterosexuals are worth it, so, like, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. If we had to break our tight 90 streak with anything, I'm glad that it's The Conjuring 2.
Agreed. So we will see you next time for that.
Yes.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.